Okay, so we're up to page 20 on the bottom right, based on my bookmark from last time. We're in the middle of the topic of tzaddik v'ralo. We went through the rush of a tovlo, why do good things happen to bad people, and now we're talking about why bad things happen to good people. And the main point understanding this issue really is just how you view this world versus the next world. And it's a very important discussion, because if we think this world itself has a purpose in and of itself, then you start questioning, why is my life in this world being so difficult? Why is that tzaddik suffering? Why do I have to go through this difficulty, that difficulty? But this world is purely made as an entranceway to the next world, so it puts a whole different perspective on it. Because you understand this world is only meant to be some sort of conduit or transition to another world. So if you look at the bottom right paragraph, So let's understand this even in a more deep way. If the whole substance of this world is to be a hallway, an entrance lobby to the next world, it's not a world of its own. This world is not meant to stand alone in any way. It's meant to stand only as an entrance way to the next world. And if you think about it, if someone were to build a lobby, an entrance hall, but there was no ballroom, there was nowhere to get to through the hall, it's a waste of a building. What's the point of a hallway that goes nowhere? It'd be worthless. It's not even a good hallway, because it's just a waste of time. Sometimes you see these like doors that go to nowhere. Either they're gagged, or there used to be something there, and now it's nothing there anymore. And it's like a joke. What's the point of that door? What a waste of a door. If anything, it's a hazard. So this world, but everything that cursed us in this world, it's only that which is needed for us to get to Olam Haba, because the point of an entrance hall is to get into the ballroom. Kol asher yirshom roshem v'nafshenu, everything that makes an impact upon us. Kol asher nuchal lahargish, all that we can feel and we can appreciate in this world. Hakolhu madud v'shakol b'tachlas hadikduk, it's all measured out precisely by Hashem. V'rakafi anitzrach lanu l'tachlas hazos v'nitzkelochem, but just for the purpose of getting us to Olam Haba. So we have to see that just like, again, an entrance hall, the whole point is to get into the ballroom. A lobby, the point is to get into the building. So this world is just to get to Olam Haba. So everything which occurs in this world, Hashem measures out precisely so that we get the best, you know, entrance to Olam Haba. That's the point. Im yechra af Hashem ba'adam, the kashos yanishenu, if Hashem, chas v'shalom, gets upset with us, it has to punish. Ein ze b'shvil atzma izbarach sh'misraim al-rasha. It's not because Hashem needs it. It's not because Hashem is upset. That's not the point. Hashem doesn't get upset with us for His own sake. Because the truth is, our mitzvos don't do anything for Hashem, and neither do our averos. Hashem is perfect. Hashem is unchanging. Hashem is constant. Our actions mean nothing to Him, you know, in terms of His own personal well-being. It says in Iyov, if you do a chait, what does it do to him? Im tzedakta, and if you did good, matitin lo, what does it give to him? No, that doesn't do anything for Hashem. So if Hashem gets angry, what does it mean Hashem gets angry? Angry usually means I feel personally insulted. You know, you did me wrong. You got me upset. So Hashem gets upset. What does it mean? Hashem is not impacted by our actions. What does it mean? Ela shomer mitzvah meitiv latzmo. Rather, the point is, if you do mitzvah, you're doing good for yourself. And if you do a sin, you did bad for yourself. So Hashem's anger is not because Hashem has been insulted, Hashem has been somehow upset. It's that Hashem has to react this way for our own good. That's the point of it all.
What do you mean when you say react to it? The anger?
The anger. Yeah, the anger of Hashem. When Hashem displays, Hashem displays anger, it's for our good. Mm-hmm. It's because we need that to happen to us in some way. And he gives more of a tangible mashal. Picture a Rebbe and a student in a classroom. Any teacher and student. If the child doesn't learn, then the child is only damaging himself. Teachers teach students. So a good teacher is there for the sake of the student. And the teacher knows that even though the student is acting up and misbehaving and having a very difficult time in class, it's for the kid's own good to learn. That's why the kid's in school, so the kid can learn and become a productive adult. So when the teacher gets angry, again, the teacher's a good teacher, if the teacher gets angry and rebukes the student, So unfortunately, the teacher, sometimes it is your own personal, you know, ego getting in the way. That's human nature. But the ideal teacher is not at all impacted by the little kid's misbehavior. I'm not insulted, but rather I need to react so that you can learn, because the goal in school is you can learn the information. You can grow into a productive adult. A little mana migal emes. So when the teacher reacts and has to rebuke the kid or punish the kid, discipline the kid, that's so that the kid could be shown the truth. If you have to rebuke the lazy student, it's only to teach the kid to focus on his studies, because it's good for him. It's good for the kid to learn at school. That's a good thing. So there are times where the Rebbe gets angry because the Rebbe has a temper. That's a bad thing. If the Rebbe gets angry because he's personally upset, that's not going to be good for anybody. Not good for the Rebbe, not good for the student. The student understands that it's the Rebbe's personal ego that's insulted. He doesn't gain, and the kid doesn't gain from it. But if the kid understands the anger is because the Rebbe's sincere drive to help the kid does gain from it. And that's what it says in Avos. It says in Avos, if you are a captain, if you have a very short temper, you can't be a teacher. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to be good for the students. They're not going to learn from you. So the Rebbe has to be very, very precise in way that he should not display anger too little or too much. From that which is needed for the good of the student. So I would even suggest, in some ways, that this is the measure of a great teacher. Are you able to balance yourself and have so much control that you know exactly when to be strict, when to be loose, when to show that you're serious, when to joke around, when to show that anger, and when to show that love? If you get the right balance, then you got the class, and the class listens. If you go too much one way or the other, so then that's when you lose control of the class, or lose control of yourself. And neither of those are good. So if this is what we expect out of a human teacher, and it is. It's one of the challenges of teaching is that you have to remove your ego and use your intellect to weigh, what should I do to help these kids? But if that's what we expect out of a human, so certainly Hashem. I mean, Hashem does display anger at times. Hashem displays love at times. And if we expect the teacher knows the exact precise balance between the love and the anger, so for sure Hashem should be able to know the balance and be able to conduct himself in that way.
So, can I just ask something? So yeah, when you were talking before about the anger, Hashem doesn't really have anger because of what we did?
But it's not, Hashem's teaching us. He has to display anger towards us. There's a difference between being angry and displaying anger.
We're not hurting him. Is that what you're?
Right, because he's not hurt. It doesn't affect him. Our averos don't affect Hashem at all.
I didn't know that.
That's the pasuk. Right. If you do an avera, what does it impact Hashem? Because Hashem is unchanging. Hashem is perfect, and Hashem is constant, and no human action can impact Hashem personally. But Hashem wants best for us, and He knows if you do this avera, it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. And unless I show you that you did something wrong, you're not going to change. Mm-hmm. And it's important the way the Rambam describes this way, that the difference between getting angry and showing anger. Showing anger is called for at times. Getting angry should not ever be called for. We get angry because those are our midos. But technically, a parent, a teacher has to display anger at a child because the child has to know something wrong has happened over here. But getting angry means that you've personally been insulted by something and you've lost control in some way, and that's never a good thing. So Hashem displays anger towards us so that we learn our lesson. But Hashem doesn't get angry. Hashem doesn't have a temper. Asher kehud asayra yimdo desa onesh. So Hashem's able to measure out a punishment like a hair's breadth, precisely. Shemamish kfiya nidrash lekarvas adam, which is exactly what's needed to bring the person close to tshuva and avodas Hashem. So we have to look at Hashem, the way Hashem acts in our world. Hashem gives us the exact right measure needed for our own sake. Mm-hmm. Hashem doesn't punish too much because that would not help us. Hashem doesn't hold back too much because that also wouldn't help us. Hashem has to show us the right amount of warmth, the right amount of din, of justice, of strictness. Just like if a teacher is expected to do that, a teacher in a first grade classroom has to have that balance. So Hashem does it, and of course Hashem does also. Hashem has the most precise balance possible between these two things. And he says here a very fascinating point. You have to know, ki yisurim him siyata d'shmaya. We have to look at yisurim, at suffering in life, as siyata d'shmaya from Hashem. Hashem is giving us help. Hashem is assisting us. Asher behem yisayeya HaKadosh Baruch Hu usan l'iskarav el v'isbarach, because the yisurim are there to help us come close to Him. It's not the way we usually look at suffering in this world. But the Torah Hashkaf on suffering, it's a high level to actually feel this way. At least intellectually to understand that suffering is meant to bring you close to Hashem. Hashem gives a person that suffering. We don't ask for it, we don't want it. But when it comes, it's to bring us close. He calls it Siyata Deshmaya. The same way I say it was Siyata Deshmaya, you know, I got to my appointment on time, there was all this traffic and whatever, I was 10 minutes late leaving the house, and I made it on time. Siyata Deshmaya. So same way a person says, you know, I went through a painful experience, but Hashem also is helping me achieve something that I had to achieve. It's just harder to notice that at times. It's harder to feel that. But this is really the caveat. I mean, we always have bechira. We always have free choice. So someone can, God forbid, go through suffering. And they have the choice as to how to react to that suffering. Meaning even though Hashem has measured it out precisely for our own good and given us the exact right measure of suffering needed for our own well-being spiritually, but it's up to us to decide what to learn from the suffering. Meaning Hashem can give it to us, but we have to actually pull out the lessons from it, and that's up to us to react in the right way. So Hashem doesn't clobber us over the head with a lesson that's obvious because we're Bechira. But we have to know when we go through different things in life, we have to pull out the lesson from it. And if we do, Hashem gave us the exact lesson we needed for that time. We can close our eyes, we can harden, you know, our necks, as we say, be stubborn. So then, unfortunately, and what happens is people then start complaining against Hashem. It's not fair, it's not just, why am I suffering, why am I going through such... So Hashem's trying to teach you a lesson, but instead of that, we start complaining to Hashem. Again, the teacher, Mashal, you know, the teacher disciplines the child, and instead of the child getting the message, the child speaks about how terrible a teacher this teacher is. Which, when the teacher's doing it because she cares about the child. I mean, my wife's a teacher, and I hear it all the time. You know, she's trying to have the right system in place for the child. But the child, or maybe sometimes the parents also, you know, will lash back a bit and say, this is bad, this is terrible, why'd you do it that way? Really, the teacher is trying to put things in place to help the child. So we complain to Hashem instead of getting the message from Hashem. And that's our choice and it's our problem.
It's just everything that Hashem does is good, but we don't always understand it, right?
Right, and that's the challenge, just understand it. Right. But what we can do is say, I know what's happening to me is what's needed, and let me try to figure out why. We don't always know why, but the attitude shouldn't be, again, it's very hard. The attitude shouldn't be, why is Hashem making me suffer? The attitude should be, Hashem is making me suffer for a reason. I don't know what it is. Let me try to determine that reason if I can. That should be your attitude. But again, it takes a high level of amunah to get yourself right. Involved in that thought process overall.
It does bring you closer.
Right.
Like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And Al-Zayim Markasim, this is what it says in Hosea. Yisharim darchei Hashem. Hashem's ways are just. V'sidikim yelchu bam. A tzaddik goes in them. V'yomid the tzaddik and learns righteousness from Hashem's ways. L'poshim, but the sinners, those who are rebellious, elo asher yivchru l'fshoa, those who choose to be rebellious, yikashlu bam, they stumble in them. V'osim darchei matzum, the same conduct of Hashem that tzaddik gains from, the posheya stumbles over. Because he has the wrong attitude towards that conduct of Hashem. So we didn't get yet exactly the tzaddik v'ra'lo, but we're setting up a certain hashkafa. And the hashkafa is this world is meant for one purpose, to get us to the best pleasure we can have in Olam Haba. That's the only purpose of this world. This world does not stand alone. It doesn't have a value in and of itself. It has a value as an entrance hallway to get to the ballroom. That's its entire value. Whatever Hashem does in this world is supposed to help us to grow so that we can achieve the greatest pleasure possible. These are all the fundamental ideas of Torah and Hashkafa, which are hard to always live with, but they're realities. So that's the whole purpose of the world, and Hashem's always trying to bring us to the best reward possible. That's Hashem's goal, is to do good for us. So the challenge often is, how do we take it in? How do we swallow it? Do we look at everything happening in life as a lesson to help us grow and change and become the better, the best people we can be, to bring us to more schar? Or do we look at the difficulties and become overwhelmed by them and complain and kvetch and lose focus because of it? That's the question. It's one of the hardest challenges in life is this question. So he says now, so often we see, and he's really alluding back to the previous chapter, often we see that a Rasha has good in this world. And we already spoke about at length different approaches to Rasha v'tovlo, but he says here another point. This is clear. Let's picture another in a classroom setting. There's a student in a classroom, and the teacher's done everything, within his or her ability to help this child, and nothing worked. Nothing. The kid is doing the same thing, is misbehaving the same way, still totally off the wall, unfocused, even though months and months have gone by, and teacher's tried 17 different methods to get the kid to focus, and spoken to the parents, and spoken to therapists, spoken to the principal, no, nothing's worked. So at that point, what do you do? So you're not going to keep on punishing the kid. Because again, if the goal of the punishment is for the kid's good, but the kid's not accepting the punishment the right way, so why keep punishing? I don't want to use the term kicking a dead horse, but it's not worth it anymore, because the purpose is for the kid, and it's not working. And there's a concern. If you punish the kid more, it'll make the kid rebel even worse at this point. The kid's not improving. And the more punishments that the teacher doles out, the kid could just rebel in a more severe way. So at a certain point, they throw the kid out of the class. Nothing against the kid, but you're not growing from my class. You're not gaining from being here. You have to change classes or change schools, but this is not the right environment for you. If this doesn't happen right away, but they always give the kids some time, and maybe the kid will improve. But once the kid has kind of hit the last straw, it's clear the kid is not going to change. The Rebbe has to decide with great distress and great anguish to push the kid away. Meaning that, so at a certain point Hashem will punish the Rasha because he wants the Rasha to change. But if the Rasha is not changing and time has gone on and nothing Hashem does helps this Rasha, Hashem's okay, forget about it. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. Let's go have a good time. Do what you want. Why? Because the point of the surim of punishments is to help a person. But if you're not able to be helped, so Hashem's not keep punishing you, because why should I keep punishing you? You're not able to be helped. So therefore, I'm going to just leave you alone. That's one attitude towards Rasha v'tovlo. This is probably now a fifth approach that he said. Why is he Rasha v'tovlo? It could be the Rasha has gone off so far that nothing will help him return. So Hashem says, okay, just go ahead, do what you want, enjoy, and when they part ways, as it were. Mm-hmm. In a sense, that's the worst, because Hashem now has... Hashem gave up on the person. Uh-huh. It's like the kid now has been thrown out of the classroom. I wish I could help you. I'm trying. It's not working, so just go. Have a nice life. Nothing more I can do. I'm stuck. Because of Rashi, this is what Rashi says. So with Yaakov, it says that Hashem will give to you bedin. Now, if you have earned it through din, then you've earned your keep, yitin, then Hashem will give to you. Vim lav, if you didn't earn your keep, lo yitin lecha. So when it comes to Yaakov, if the Jews earn it, then Hashem gives. If we don't earn it, Hashem doesn't give. But to Esav it says, mishmar arzi yem b'shemecha. To Esav it says, you will be settled upon the nutritions of the land, the fruitful land. Bein Tzadik ben Rasha, whether you're Tzadik or Rasha, Bein Ra'i ve'in Ra'i, whether you are worthy or not, Kedishu Kertagor, because I don't want you to start complaining even more. But when it comes to Esav HaRasha, Hashem says, okay, you'll have a good time. You'll be prosperous. Why? Because they're also complaining to me, and you're not going to grow, you're not going to change from it. With Yaakov, Hashem set a very clear line. If you do good, I'll give you good. If you do bad, I won't give you the good. But Esav, Hashem doesn't bother, as it were. I'm not going to bother to punish you, because all it's going to do is cause you to complain, make a chil Hashem even more, and get upset. Perish ki Yaakov efshar l'hasag mitzvah. But Yaakov din works. Ki yomad minosh, because Yaakov learns from the punishments. If Yaakov is lacking in this world, he humbles himself. Yashiv, he'll turn towards Hashem to help him. But if Esav is lacking, Esav will just do even more bad, and he will totally deny Hashem. So Hashem will therefore show rachamim to Esav until it's impossible, and then at that point, then Esav will be destroyed, whatever it is. But it's this hanhaga that they say the worst thing is when you're ignored. That's the worst thing. But then hung up with a Russia who is not learning his lessons. Sometimes Hashem just ignores him. Okay, forget about it. No, I don't want you to kvetch anymore. So just go and have a nice life and don't bother me. So now here's a big question: why are sometimes we find yisurim, suffering, which can't be punishments? I mean, this is a very big question. You know, Rachman Litzvah, and there's children who are born disabled. And you can't say it's a punishment. They were babies. They were born that way. They weren't punished for anything they did. So why is it that sometimes people suffer in ways that are clearly not because of a punishment? I mean, we understand punishments are to help a person grow and change. That we understand that. You know, the rehabilitative punishments. They have to rehabilitate the person and help encourage them to grow. But why do people get punished sometimes why do people suffer where it's clearly not a punishment for their actions? It's a very big question that everyone grapples with. People were born with illnesses. People have genetic illnesses. So it's not a punishment, it's just in the genes. What did I do to deserve this? I didn't do anything. Why does Hashem act in this way with these people? Vamru Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al Adam kodem shenotzar imechacham yashote. So the Gemara tells us that Hashem decrees about people before they're born certain traits. Will you be wise? Will you be foolish? Will you be gibor chalosh? Will you be strong or weak? Bar yochola, will you be a healthy person or a sickly person? Asher ani, will you be wealthy? Will you be poor? Rakim Tzadik Yeh Russia Lenigzar Russia. The only thing that's not decreed in advance is Tzadik or Russia, because that's up to our free choice. So many of the facts of life that a person is born with are predetermined by Hashem. It says financial status, health. If you are composed in a very strong way, you're a weaker person. Intellectual capabilities, those are predetermined by Hashem. The only thing Hashem doesn't predetermine is Russia versus Tzaddik, because that's free choice. Choice is that I choose to do right or do wrong. So it's strange. The Gemara even says it. But Hashem, before a child is born, might decree illness. Why? How come some people have these very comfortable lives? Some people have very difficult lives. Why is it that way? So Dessler says this whole question is a mistake. It's built up on the wrong premise. So it's a good, we think the question is a good question, which it bothers us, the question. But it's saying the question has a mistaken premise to it. It's not a good question. It's a mistaken question. Now let's explain. Let's explain it. It's a very deep thing. Let's explain it. Anybody who looks, it's pretty obvious, knows that people are different from one another. Every human being is different. Him marisam, him bekochos nafsham, both in appearance, in abilities, him bekishnur sichlam, in intellect, meaning we know that every human being is made as an individual. And every human being has their own personal blend of talents, abilities, kochos, and challenges. And so too in the environment that you're born into. Everyone's born into a different environment. Different cities, different families, different friends, different schools. And everybody has a different blend of kochos. So for example, so he's just giving sort of numbers. Somebody has 10% gaiva. The atzos 15% was in 15% laziness. The taiva was in 20% taiva, desire. So every mida is going to have its percentage as to how much it really impacts you. So some people, you'd say, are big bali gaiva, but they don't have so much taiva. Some are more taiva, don't have gaiva. Some people are more lazy, some are less lazy. Some people have big tempers, some don't have so much of a temper. Some people, everybody has their blend. And no two people are going to have the same exact blend of midos. Everyone's going to be different. Umuvan huki ko elam is mazgos b'yachad. And all the midos sort of blend together in a person. And they impact one another. The other person has a very different blend of midos. So too when it comes to the intellect. We understand there's different aspects of intellect. Understanding, hamaka, like analysis, hamhiros, if you're quick to grasp, cheshbon, calculations, memory, chodoma, harbe. You have kids in school, and each one excels intellectually in different ways. You have children who have very good memories, but can't calculate. Some children are very good at calculation, terrible memories. Some children are very good at reading and terrible at math. Some are good at math, terrible at reading. I mean, this is just different kochos in a person. And we're all like that. Asher seichel adam mazug mehem. So our intellect is a blend of many, many kochos. And each blend is different. So too with the surroundings. And we talk about nature versus nurture. And there's a truth to both. The nature of a child is determined based on this blend of kochos, and the nurture, the environment you're born into. You didn't choose where to be born. You didn't choose who your parents were, who your siblings were. You didn't choose anything. Hashem just put you there, and that impacts a person in a very deep way. Also, roshim b'chinuch ha'adam. They all make an impact on a person's chinuch. V'gamhi mazuga mipratim asher kol prat v'prat yifo mizigas kochos nafsho. And so this whole blend of a person, whether it be their physical abilities, whether it be the intellect, whether it be their surroundings, the nature and the nurture, everything else, everyone's unique, 100% unique based on that. I read that part. It's Chazal say, just like our faces are all different, so too are all of our minds are different. Our approaches to life are different. Everyone thinks differently. We know that if 600,000 Jews are together at one place, there's a bracha we make. I mean, it doesn't really happen. It hasn't happened, I don't think, in a long time. Besides, I think in Eretz Yisrael, at some funerals in recent years of Gedolim, we actually had the many Jews together. But the bracha was Chacham HaRazim. That Hashem is the knower of secrets. And the Gemara explains that Hashem can take in all these different people and understand each one for who they are, even though every single one is different. So you have all Klai Yisrael together, and you see the whole expanse of Klai Yisrael. 600,000 Jews is like this number. That's like in the Midbar, number of Klai Yisrael. And you see that there's 600,000 people and 600,000 different people all there to serve Hashem. Then there's a bracha to make to recognize that Hashem gets every single person for who they are, even though they're all different. Avalama hukap. But why is it this way? Doesn't every person have the same goal? I mean, why are we all so different then? If the goal of every single person is to do mitzvahs and serve Hashem, then why does Hashem make us all so different? The goal of every single Jew is to serve Hashem and mizochet olam haba. So why are we all given different sets of tools, as it were, to reach the same goal? I mean, if we were all there to climb Everest, so we'd all have the same pack with us, I would assume. No, we need the same kinds of foods, the same type of picks, the same type of shoes, because we're all going to the same goal. If you're going to play a game of basketball, so everyone puts on the same basketball clothes, and you play because it's the same goal. So we're all here for the same goal of getting to Olam Haba. Then why didn't Hashem give us all like a different pack of tools to get there? It doesn't seem to make sense. So he's going to explain the point, which is that we're being too generic in saying our goal is to get to Olam Haba. Every single Jew has his or her tafkid. We have our job in life, our duty to. Our goal is to get to Olam Haba, but by doing our role in life. And you can't say the expectations are the same for every single Jew because we're all so different. I don't want to get into it. I think I've told this story once, but there's a mashal given. I heard from Rabbi Porter once in Baltimore years ago. But he gives the mashal of the. There's Joel Friedman and Yolish Friedman. You have Joel Friedman, who's born as a secular Jew growing up in a small town, Virginia, Then you have Yehudah Friedman, born as a chassid in Borough Park. So both born Jews, you know, their names, obviously, we connect. So can Hashem have the same expectations of both? It doesn't make sense that Hashem expects both out of both of those Jews, because look where he put them. Hashem put one into a secular Jewish family in a small town with no Jewish support system there, and one born into a very strong Hasidic family where he's going to be brought up in the lap of Torah from age one and onwards. So how can Hashem expect the same from both of those Jews? Obviously, each one has a different expectation in life. It's a clear thing. So here too, the fact that we all have different tools we're given, that's because the expectations of every single Jew are different. So even though the goal is Olam Haba, but what Hashem wants out of each and every one of us is to fulfill our tachlis in life. And if we fulfill our tachlis with the tools we're given, then we're going to achieve the same place in Olam Haba as anyone else who fulfills their tachlis in life. So this is what it means. Hashem's kindness is unlimited. So the chesed Hashem does for us that we see, that's revealed to us, is infinite. Go and look. Think about it. Hashem placed us here to achieve great heights, and to be able to achieve happiness greater than anything we can imagine. That should be enough for us already. But Hashem gave us the ability to actually discern this gift, to discern the idea that we have to get to Olam Haba, and we're able to earn our keep and make it ours, you know, make the reward something which is meaningful to us because we've earned it. The reward for our good deeds that we have fought to achieve. From Asher Ratza Bechasto Shalo Nargish Estuvo Kamat Eschinim, because Hashem doesn't want us to feel that we're receiving handouts, we have to earn a reward. El Yinam Lanu Od Yoser Biadenu Kis Shalanuhu Vazelo Bavarai Deenu. So the point being that Hashem tries to do for us the greatest chesed possible. So Hashem says, I want everyone to have Olam Haba. But this is the famous idea of the Ramchal, it's really, I think, based on the Zohar, that a person does not enjoy free handouts. Something you didn't earn doesn't really make you feel so fulfilled. But when you work hard and earn your keep, then you feel really good about the achievement. So Hashem sets us up in this world in a way that we can actually earn our keep, earn our reward, and feel great about that achievement. So we see Hashem doing even greater chesed. Let's think about it. The mitzvah ikris kiddush Hashem. The main mitzvah in the Torah is kiddush Hashem. Ki kolosko, because it includes all. Meaning the idea of kiddush Hashem, we also have to contrast it. Kiddush Hashem is the opposite of chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is, the word chilul literally means an emptiness, a void, a vacuum. So chilul Hashem means that I've created a vacuum of Hashem in this place. And Hashem should be recognized everywhere. And by doing the action I did, I have now caused Hashem's recognition to be void from this area. Kiddush Hashem is bringing more awareness of Hashem into this area. So the more, when I do a mitzvah, it's a Kiddush Hashem, because I'm bringing more awareness of Hashem into the world. When I do an Aveira, it's a Chilul Hashem, because I've actually vacated Kevayachol Hashem from the area, because no one recognizes Hashem here, because no one's following Hashem's word. So therefore Hashem is not noticed in the same way here, because of the Chilul Hashem which is being made. So really the substance, the essence, every mitzvah is Kiddush Hashem. It's to bring more awareness of Hashem into the world. So when we overcome the Yitzhara and do the right thing, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Because we've shown ourselves and others that there's a God of the world, and therefore I'm going to do something difficult, overcome my human urge, my human desire, because God said so. That's Kiddush Hashem, because I'm bringing more awareness of God to the world. So it says, all this called to my name, I made it for my honor. Not that Hashem needs honor. Rather, it's for our own good. That Hashem wants us to have the schus of bringing honor to His name. To sanctify him above all deeds. If a group of people came to honor an earthly king, And they all give the same speech. This is a picture of this. We're sitting at a, you go to the, you know, the yeshiva dinner, right? And they're honoring somebody. And there's three speakers to speak about the honoree. And all three say the same exact speech. So what kind of, so the first speech was a nice speech and very honorable to the person. The other two, you say, okay, enough already. Now this is not, if everyone says the same exact thing, that's not increasing the honor of the honoree. If all it's doing is boring the crowd, at best. So imagine in this world, our job is to bring kavod to Hashem, mekashim shemayim. And we all did it in the exact same way. Is that enhancing and increasing kavod shemayim? I mean, the very first person to do it is bringing about that awareness. But if every single person does it the same exact way, the same exact challenge, the same exact steps are made to mekashim shemayim, it's taking away. It's not adding, it may be taking away from Kavod Shemayim. So if all the speakers, they had this big gathering to honor a king, and all the speakers came and said the same exact speech. So number one, how would the second speaker feel? You took my speech. Like, you know, that's always an issue. And how does the king feel? That's all they can say about me? It's the same thing? And the last speaker knows he's adding nothing to the previous speakers. So, how good is that? Okay, Hosef Hashem's Baruch Lechasto. So Hashem makes it that every single person is able to mekadesh Hashem in their own individual way. And that's the beautiful point he's making. Every single one of us can bring Kiddush Hashem to the world in our own unique individual way, based on our own blend of kochos, our own blend of intellect, our own blend of capabilities. And that's why Hashem makes us all so different.
So that goes with you're blessed with a child who has like Yiska, for example,
right?
You know what she went through and everything like that. So it's not a punishment, but it's giving us an opportunity to use the tools that Hashem gave us.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
And even the child, you know, that neshama in its way was mekashim shemayim in its own individual way. Yeah, right. 100%. I find it. I mean, you know, it's hard for us to know the reasons for any of these types of things. But I find it astounding when people do, God forbid, have a child who's sick. The amount of chesed that's done, the amount of kiddush Hashem which occurs from those situations is amazing. You know, that's one example. Unfortunately, there's other examples of it. But people who just when people rally around a child that's sick, the amount of tefillah that's said, the amount of tehillim that's said, and the mitzvahs they're taken upon, the shmir saloshin, the chesed done to the family, it's incredible. So that child, in a short few months, the child lives, has accomplished more than some adults have in terms of inspiring the world to do better. It's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult situation, but the amount of good that comes from it. I look sometimes at Yad Yehuda in Silver Spring. So the tragic loss of Yehuda Man was a terrible tragedy, but the amount of chesed that's come to that organization is astounding. It's astounding. And imagine, you know, we don't know Hashem's ways at all, but the good that's come from such tragedy is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's really unbelievable. So the Kishm Shemayim was achieved in a very unique way by a person who left the world, you know, as a young child, as a young man. It's hard for us to talk about it, but it's astounding to see sometimes how much good can come from such tragedies. So we never know Hashem's ways, but Hashem's trying. But everyone has their way to be mekadeshim shemayim based on the kochos they're given. So if somebody is born with an illness, that's their role to be mekadeshim shemayim from that situation. If someone's born and they're extremely intelligent, that's their role. In the Kashmir Mayim fast situation, someone's born very strong, someone's born very weak, someone's born in this city or that city, this family, that family has a hard upbringing, a good upbringing. I mean, everyone has their way to bring up Kiddush Hashem from their standing in life.
But you have to have so much amount of bitachon, right?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. 100%. But what he's trying to teach us, though, that's the attitude that we strive towards.
Right,
you know, reading it in the Sefer is not going to bring about that bitachon, but to understand what we're supposed to think. You know, to know where is the goal. You have to always keep your eye on the goal, know what we're striving towards. And this is the attitude we're striving towards, to say that any human being, no matter what struggles they're going through, the Hashem gives them that struggle because that is their unique job, and be mekashim shemayim. Because again, every single, and you don't have to talk about suffering. I mean, it's just everyone's different. No, everyone has a different way to be Kaddish Hashem. So forget those who are suffering for a second. Everyone who's even living a comfortable life, but everyone's comfortable life is different because everyone's blend of kochos in themselves is different. And therefore, you're makash v'shamayim based on that position you're given in life. So based on this, everyone gets their unique share in Olam Haba, which really belongs to you. And nobody else preceded you to that spot. Don't think Olam Haba, everyone's like sharing the same hotel room or something. You know, in Olam Haba, everyone gets their own unique reward because they've done their unique job in life. And every Jew is unique. Everyone has, you know, their pleasure and their happiness and their schar based on their actions. So everyone's born into an atmosphere, into an environment which is needed for their job in life. So they can actually accomplish the Kiddush Hashem they're created to accomplish. Some people are born into a wealthy family, and their job is to create a Kiddush Hashem through the challenge of wealth and luxury and pleasure. What's the challenge with Gashim Bam? Not to become too schlepped into the material, into the world of desire, into the world of money, until they forget Hashem. Like it says in Mishlei, maybe I will become too satisfied, and I will deny v'marti, and I'll say, Mi Hashem, who is Hashem? Some have to deal with poverty, v'sarzrabos, and difficulties. And their challenge is to deal with the poverty and the distress and not to question Hashem. That's their challenge. And we see somebody who's suffering and has tremendous bitachon, there's a huge Kiddush Shemayim there. You see Hashem in the room. Chazal even tell us that Hashem is there with someone who's sick. And there's a special closeness Hashem feels to somebody who's sick. And when the bitachon comes out in the person, it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Arubi Yoseinu Bom Haze Loneda. So we don't know, in this world, we don't really understand fully how this all works. We can't fully get it. But we could say, it's reasonable to say, if you were to ask the neshama, and before it came down to this world, what would you rather have? Would you rather travel through the entrance hall with wealth and comfort? Or would you rather travel through it with poverty and distress? What would you choose? If this is the post to the Neshama before it came down to Olam Haza. Mistaber, it's very rational to say, the Neshama would choose suffering. Kimisha libo shavar, because the Neshama understands that when you are a broken person, when you're down, when you're going through difficult times, chas v'shalom, karvu yoser lachsho v'mnafsho, you are more likely to grapple with yourself, advar tachliso, and determine your goal in life. You know, things are comfortable, often people just don't think about spirituality or Hashem. When things are difficult, people think about it. So if the goal of this world is just to improve your situation, so Olam Haba is so you get the grace of Olam Haba, so it could be if you were to remove yourself from the world and look down from Shemayim and say, which situation would I rather have? You would choose the suffering. It could be. You know, he's saying it's a very rational approach, because that person who's suffering has easier times to actually go through genuine spiritual growth than the one who has everything easy, wealth and comfort coming to them. So it's we can't answer all questions, and I keep saying that there's no one answer to these questions, but these are approaches that at least make it intellectually manageable. We understand that Hashem has reasons for tzadik v'ra lo, because the tzadik, his job is, everyone's job is Kiddush Hashem, and what we call the ra lo, what looks bad, is what this person needs to achieve what Hashem wants out of them in this world. And that's going to bring them to the ultimate Schar Olam Haba, which they deserve. That's the goal of it all. All right. Very good.
Thank you. Sorry for...